Let's turn to the Word of God this morning to think more about the Christian graces as found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. And let's just read together those verses as we remember what these wonderful Christian graces are that we're supposed to be adding to our life on a regular basis. Peter writes, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, they will make you so that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Well, this morning we'd like to talk about knowledge. The last couple of times we discussed the Christian graces, we talked about faith, first of all, and then secondly, we discussed virtue. But this morning we would like to talk about knowledge. When we think about knowledge, we understand that knowledge is essential to our spiritual life. You see, Peter doesn't want us to be barren or unfruitful, notice, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he mentions in verse 8. And this is why we are to be concerned about this list of Christian graces. All of these things work together to teach us about who Jesus is. And we need to know who Jesus is so that we can imitate him within our life. You see, Jesus was the one who was made to teach us the way that we should be as a human person. Jesus is the second Adam. And in being the second Adam, he redefines for us what humanity is. And so, in order for us to really fulfill the purpose that God created in mankind, we need to know who Jesus is in order to fulfill our purpose. In order for me to fulfill my purpose and you to fulfill your purpose, we've got to know Jesus. And that's why we have this list of Christian graces. And that's why we need to be concerned about knowledge. You know, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Well, how does knowledge contribute to our Christian life? And don't misunderstand. Knowledge is essential to Christian living. It is essential to spiritual fruitfulness. Because as we think about having knowledge, we also think about lacking knowledge. And lacking knowledge destroys spiritual life. But then having knowledge enables us to be informed about that spiritual foundation for life. And then when we have that knowledge within our life, then the ideas that come from that knowledge will inform our spiritual behavior for life in Christ. So knowledge is essential, and we need to really understand how to get that knowledge within our life and then how to apply that knowledge to our life. And so let's talk about knowledge. First of all, we want to talk about the opposite of knowledge, which is ignorance. And lack of knowledge or ignorance destroys spiritual life. And so we need to be warned not to have a lack of knowledge or not to be ignorant about Christ, because if we do, then our spiritual life will be destroyed. We live in a world today that values ignorance, believe it or not. And you say, well, how so? Because of the philosophies that men espouse and thinking that they are wiser than God in setting forth the idea that you can't really know anything, or setting forth the idea that it's okay to be ignorant concerning spiritual matters, or the idea that matter is all that there is and that there's nothing beyond that. Those are all based upon the philosophies of men. And many today, because of those false philosophies, will say, well, there's no truth, there's no right or wrong, there is simply what you want to do, and that's all there is. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible teaches us about right and wrong. The Bible teaches us about truth and error. And because of that, we can have real knowledge. You know, several years ago, I was in a college classroom, and the professor, who was a professed Christian, he stood up and he said, now I want to conduct a little experiment here with the class, and I want to ask you to let me know whether you think ethics, this was an ethics class, okay, whether you think ethics is more like your favorite flavor of ice cream, that is, whether you prefer chocolate or vanilla, and it really doesn't matter, or ethics like that, or are ethics more like an equation, like the equation 2 plus 3 equals 5? Are ethics like that, or are ethics more like whether or not you prefer ice cream, you could take it or leave it, it doesn't matter one way or another, or are ethics more hard and fast, that is, established so that if something is right, it is right. If something is wrong, it's wrong. Like a math problem that 2 plus 3 equals 5, and you know that that's right, and that won't change. And so he then went around the classroom and said, just tell me what you think. You don't have to comment. I want you to comment on it. And nobody is going to look at you in any way for your vote, one way or another. We're just going to raise our hand, and I'm not going to comment on it either. And so he went around the class. And one by one, the students started to vote. And by the time the voting was done, there were 25 students in the class, and only 5 of the students said that ethics was more like a math problem of 2 plus 3 equals 5, where there's real right and where there's real wrong. And only 5 students said that, and 20 of the students said ethics is more like choosing your favorite flavor of ice cream. You can choose whatever you want, and it doesn't really matter how you choose. Now, that's the society we live in. That's a society that does not have knowledge. And that's what we need to understand about growing in knowledge. And about having knowledge within our life. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to know what the Bible says. The lack of knowledge of spiritual matters is what produces in our society discontent, dependency, depression, and death. All of those things follow from not having spiritual knowledge within our life. Now, God said that long ago in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 when he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I shall also reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of God, I will also forget your children. Lack of knowledge destroyed ancient Israel. And lack of knowledge is something that we need to be concerned about today, and specifically countering that so that we have spiritual knowledge within our life. Listen to what Paul told Timothy about false knowledge in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 20 and 21. He said, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. And so that's how serious this matter is. That's how important it is for us to have knowledge within our life. If we don't have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we will stray from the faith. Now listen to what Romans chapter 10 and verses 2 and 3 says regarding the Pharisees. It says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. And yes, the Pharisees were zealous for God, but not according to knowledge. But they didn't have the right knowledge. And so their zeal was misapplied because they were seeking to establish their own righteousness and not the righteousness which is from God. And so lack of knowledge brings about spiritual destruction. But then as we think about knowledge, we must desire spiritual knowledge above all else in order to avoid death and in order to have life. You see, spiritual knowledge leads to life, but lack of spiritual knowledge leads to death. Think about what the proverb writer said in Proverbs 4 and verse 7. He said, "Wisdom is the principal thing." What does that mean? The principal thing. It means it is the number one thing and that we need to go after it. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. We need that wisdom. We need that understanding. Yes, indeed, Paul says, "I count all things for loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Philippians 3 and verse 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8 and verse 6. So we need to put wisdom and understanding of God first. We've got to do that above all other things and count all everything else as rubbish compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because if we are ignorant, if we do not have spiritual knowledge, then that produces death. And it is only by being spiritually minded that we can have life and peace. And so knowledge is essential to life and to spiritual fruitfulness. Because, first of all, ignorance destroys spiritual life. But then, secondly, we see that information establishes a spiritual foundation for life. Knowledge is essential to spiritual life and fruitfulness because that information comes into our life and it sets the stage. It provides the foundation upon which we can then grow. You see, we cannot have spiritual life without knowledge of God's Word. James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 21, "Therefore put aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls." We've got to receive that Word. We've got to get it in our life. And look, spiritual wickedness and filthiness compete with that. That's ignorance. That's a lack of spiritual knowledge is when we have these sinful qualities within our life and they compete with our having spiritual knowledge. And as long as those sinful qualities are there and we entertain them, then we're going to push away at God's Word. But when we let go of those things, when we let go of those sinful qualities within our life and say, "I'm not going to entertain those things anymore," then we will cleave to the Word of God. Then we will want that knowledge within our life. The competition will be removed so that we can have that implanted Word or that engrafted Word which is able to save our souls. Listen to what Peter says, 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking," that is, putting those things away, "as newborn babes desire the sincere or the spiritual milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You see, God wants everyone to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. And so spiritual life depends upon our having knowledge. And we need to put that knowledge within our life. We need to put away sinfulness from our life and put knowledge into our life. And because an informed faith is foundational for spiritual life. Now, we cannot have faith without knowledge. We've got to have knowledge first, and then we can build our faith upon that knowledge. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And when we have faith, then that can become our foundation. That can become what lies under, what stands under everything else. And then we can build on top of our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Notice what it says, faith is the substance. It is what stands under everything else. The substance, okay? That's what faith is. And so faith is foundational, and faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And so our faith needs to be based upon knowledge, and we need to have that knowledge within our life in order for our faith to grow and in order for us to grow in other things as well. And that faith then needs to be put into practice. And we put it into practice when we have that knowledge within our life and we start to have that foundation of faith, then we're going to start acting upon our faith. And we're going to start changing our lives based upon our faith. Now listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." We've got to keep it. We've got to practice it. We've got to employ it within our life. We've got to put it into the things that we do each and every day. It's not enough to have just rote knowledge, so to speak. I've got a lot of rote knowledge in my head that I've got there from studying a lot of different things in the past. And it doesn't have a lot of usefulness, but it just sits there. And, I can tell you a lot of things about Greek verbs and a lot of things about Hebrew nouns and things like that, which don't help me very much in daily life. Now, they may give me a little tiny insight into some things in the Scriptures, but they don't help me very much in daily life. And so there's a lot of rote knowledge like that that doesn't do very much for us, that we've learned and we've studied. Sometimes we call it useless information, you know. And we kind of make light of that sometimes, some useless facts that are funny, you know. When we talk about those laws that they have on the books against walking across a sidewalk on a Sunday morning in the rain without an umbrella or something like that, you know. Those crazy laws that you hear about occasionally. But faith is not like that. Faith is not useless. Faith is not one of those things that we can't put into practice. No, it is eminently useful. It is eminently important. It is eminently necessary. In order for us to have spiritual life, we need to have faith at every moment of our life, at every day of our life, every week, every month, every year. Because faith is important. And it needs to be put into practice. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James 1 and verse 22. And that's why it's so important for us to have knowledge, to have the knowledge of God's word within our life, and to have faith to practice that knowledge. We've got to put it into practice within our life. And so knowledge is essential to life and spiritual fruitfulness because information establishes a spiritual foundation for life. But then finally this morning, we see that knowledge is essential to life and spiritual fruitfulness because the ideas that we gain from that information lead to spiritual behavior for life in Christ. You know, we are what we think. And the ideas that we have within our head are then going to influence and control our behavior. There's not a single action that we make in this life that isn't first informed by an idea that we have in our mind. Every single act we take is there because we have thought about it first at some point within our life. Even the habits that we have, and you know, sometimes we do things habitually, like, you know, if someone is in the kitchen cooking and they're sitting there chopping up carrots or celery or whatever, and they're just chopping away, you know, and they do that by habit because they've done it so often. But at some point in your life, you had to think about that, right? You had to pay attention. You had to think, now how am I going to bring this knife down on this carrot so that I don't include my finger at the end of that carrot, right? And though you may know how to do it very well, at some point you had to think about it. There had to be an idea about it. You had to put your thought to it so that then you could develop that habit. But our ideas become our actions, and our actions become our behaviors, and our behaviors become our habits. You see, and that's how life proceeds. And so it all starts with the ideas that we have within our mind. And we've got to inform those ideas with God's knowledge. Now, God's word is powerful to effect real and substantive change within our life, so as to produce peace and joy and love within the life that we lead each and every day. God said His word was powerful in Isaiah 55 and verse 11. He said, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." You see, God's word isn't like that useless information that we think about sometimes and how funny it is. No, God's word has an impact on us. God's word has an effect on us. It will prosper us, and it will do that which God intended it to do. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner. Now listen to this. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God teaches us what's going on inside our heart, and we need to listen to it, and we need to let it inform our heart. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And so God's Word is powerful to change my life. And so I need to appropriate within my behavior the knowledge of Christ. I've got to take God's word, I've got to internalize it, and then I've got to put it into practice in a way that applies it to my life so that it becomes relevant to my life. Now, God's word is relevant, and it is going to change us, but we need to act on faith. We need to practice it. We need to apply it. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we've got to really know who Jesus is. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. "For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask," now listen to this, "to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Colossians 1 and verse 9. God wants us to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 13 that we labor together as elders and deacons and ministers and teachers. For what purpose? "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete person, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." You see, we're all trying to measure up to Christ. That's what we need to measure up to. And in order to do that, we've got to know Him. Paul said, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, if by any means I may be conformed to the resurrection." You see, the Apostle Paul knew how important knowledge of Jesus Christ was for his life. And if our knowledge is not bringing us to Christ-centered behavior, then it is not spiritual knowledge, and it will not give spiritual life. Spiritual knowledge and spiritual life is only in Christ Jesus. And that's where we need to put our minds and our thoughts and our thinking, if we're going to have the spiritual life that He wants us to have. In Colossians 3:10 we read, "Put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." The image of Him. Christ's image. And as a Christian, we are to be renewed in knowledge according to His image. Every day, we're to make ourselves new according to His image. You know, if you take a piece of copy paper or something you want to copy, and you put it on the copy machine and you make a copy of that, then that copy tends to degrade, right? And you take the copy of the copy and you put it on the copy machine, and it looks even worse than the first copy did. You take the third copy and put it on the copy machine, and you keep doing that over and over again. Eventually, you're going to get a copy that has so many speckles all over it, and the text is so blurry, and the things that are in that page are going to be barely legible, if they're even legible at all. And we've all seen copies like that, right? Something's been copied over and over again. You're looking at it and say, well, how many times was this thing copied, you know? It's so distorted and it's so degraded from what the original was. But thank God that that's not how the Christian life is lived, okay? Because we have the original. We have the standard. We have the true. We have the pattern. And that's Jesus Himself. And by putting our knowledge in Him and practicing the life that He lives, we are renewed every day. Yes, we are renewed in Him. And it would be like taking that old degraded copy and sticking it on the copying machine and pressing the copy button, and out came one that looked perfectly pure and good and legible and just like the original. That's what this word means, to be renewed after His image. And that's what we want within our life, renewal. Because it's in Him, that is in Jesus Christ, that are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we want every single treasure that we can lay our hands on and that we can employ in our life. Every single one is available for us. And so, what is holding us back? Our knowledge that we need to understand and we need to know and we need to apply within our life. And this is eternal life. That you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17 and verse 3. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Colossians 3 and verse 4. Have you applied the knowledge of Jesus Christ to your life? We need to make application. We need to have that knowledge, and we need to apply it so that we can have spiritual life. Knowledge of Christ is essential to life and to spiritual fruitfulness because, first of all, ignorance destroys spiritual life. But then secondly, information establishes a spiritual foundation for life, gives us a solid foundation of faith so that we can grow. And then finally, ideas come from that knowledge and they inform our spiritual behavior so that we can live a life that Christ would want us to live, a life in Christ. And that life is available for everyone. You know, Jesus walked on this earth for 30-something years and He was the most loving person who ever walked upon the face of this earth. He was the person who was most filled with peace as He walked upon the face of this earth. Even though He had enemies within His life, He had peace. And He was the most joyful person who ever walked upon the face of this earth, because He was who God created humanity to be. Now, God didn't create us to be miserable. He didn't create us to be depressed all the time. He didn't create us to have destruction and to have death and to have discontentment and despondency and all of those things. No, those things don't come from God. They come from the devil. And they come from our ignoring God's knowledge within our life. Do you need peace? Do you need joy? Do you need love within your life? Everyone does. Why not increase and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why not give yourself to Him so that He can inform your life in a way that will produce beautiful results, in a way that will bring spirituality to your life, in a way that will give you spiritual life. And you can live the blessed life here on earth, and then you can have the hope of eternal life in heaven. Give yourself to Christ this morning through hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as Lord, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and walking faithfully with Him each and every day. And that life will be yours. Why not become a child of God this very hour? And if you need the prayers of the church so that you can grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ, that opportunity is before you as well. We have this song of invitation picked out. And if you would like to respond to that invitation, you can come forward during this song while together we stand and while we sing.